Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post is freshly delivered this week, and I am just one of your hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is always, the wonderful, talented, magical Drea Kaufman.
Hello!
Well, how are you?
I'm feeling a little bit like, Aunt, name is slipping my mind now. Holy
Aunt Marge.
Crap. Aunt Marge. Feeling a little bit like Aunt Marge right now.
Oh, when Harry
but
blew
otherwise
her
good.
I
yeah,
mean, spoiler alert for the rest of the chapter.
Oh, no, we ruined it.
Oh, man. No, I totally understand. Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, you know, we only have, you know, there's mere weeks left at this point.
Yes.
Before the
little
munchkin comes and joins the family.
Yep. Getting real done with it, as I'm sure all moms out there know.
It reminds me of Friends, where Rachel is like, "Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out!"
Yeah, so we're not quite to the yelling at myself part yet, but we're.
Well,
I can
good.
See that. I can see how we would get there.
Well, that's really good. Before we dive into our chapter called Aunt Marge's Big Mistake. Made a huge mistake, Michael. You could find us all over the place. You can find us on Twitter at @JoinNerdParty. You could find us on thenerdparty.com, where you can find all of the shows that we do. We have so many great shows. Go over there and check them out. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Love interacting with people. We post our shows there, all of our shows. It's a great way to get to know the other listeners and talk to us about the different episodes that we do, what's happening in those episodes. Your thoughts. We love hearing that. So go over there and do that. The other place we love getting feedback is over on Apple Podcasts. It's a great place to let us know what you think of the show. You can rate and review us, but it also helps other Harry Potter fans find the show when they're listening to it. Drea, I haven't told you this, but I've had 3 people in the last 2 weeks just come up to me, like that I know, and be like, "So I've been listening to Owl Post and I totally love it. And I was telling all of my Harry Potter friends about it."
That's so exciting.
I know.
That makes me so happy.
It felt so good. And another way you could, you know, maybe share your Owl Post love is you can head to the website at thenerdparty.com, hit shop, and you could buy Owl Post stuff like stickers and t-shirts and all sorts of really cool things. And you can let people know that way that you love the show. And it also helps out the network. It just helps us make sure that we can keep all the lights on and the podcasts coming to you.
Yes.
Last but not least, if you're on the website too, you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact and you can choose Owl Post and you can send us an email. And we love to interact with the listeners that way. So Aunt Marge's Big Mistake is finally here. And I thought that this chapter, it started off talking about Dudley and how big Dudley is. And, you know, a lot of people have kind of felt like that she has a thing out for people who are bigger, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about this more in the sense that I feel like her commentary about the Dursleys and Dudley in general is a family who is raising a child to which is never said no to and never, you know, not given what they want and how it's not a good thing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I do feel like, I don't feel like she's coming at big people in general. I feel like she's using that. I mean, historically, you look at things and the wealthy and the excessive were always the ones that were chubbier, right? Like, even go super far back to like 1800s, the curvier the woman was or the larger the man was, that meant they could eat well, they could, you know, they were wealthy. So I almost feel like it's more of a commentary on like excessiveness and materialism.
Yeah.
Because they're very materialistic. And so, you know, for them, that's just one way that they are showing that they're wealthy and that they're doing well is that they're all plump, you know? So I kind of took it in that sort of sense, almost historic, you know, like they can eat well, mm-hmm. they can eat lots, they can imbibe in mass quantities, because I always feel like she tries to paint them as excessive and
yes.
you know, consumer and very, very consumer driven. You know, there's always lots of stuff around too. So I took it more along the consumerist path, and that's what she's picking on and using, like this him growing bigger and bigger as just an example of, you know, they're consuming more and more. So that's kind of how I took it, and not necessarily like a fat shaming thing.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that that's also an example of the fact that, you know, they bought a television to go in the kitchen because Dudley, it's too far to walk. Like they're so excessive in what they have that they can't even walk from the living room to the refrigerator anymore and back, you know. And and it was interesting because I was just kind of thinking about this, and I don't know if this struck you at all, but it obviously Harry's been denied almost every creature comfort possible, and yet Harry as we've been looking through the series turns out much better than Dudley does for the most part until I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, but at least to this point Dudley is a doofus in every sense of the word. And just like you said, the ultimate consumer. He's not a person who's out for anybody else but themselves. He's like the quintessential narcissistic, you know, everything is about me. And they're just raising him like that. And I think almost seems like Harry's being raised with a lot less has risen within him like this like, He can live on bare minimum, right? And
yes,
it.
I'm like nodding over here, and I'm like, oh wait, no one can hear that.
Yeah, but no, it's in a lot of ways, it's helped him care more about other people than himself because he knows what he can get by on, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very little, and therefore it's allowed him. And this doesn't happen to everybody whose life is like this, but it's allowed Harry to become somebody who is more worried about other people than he is himself. And I just think it's a really interesting dichotomy between these two characters. I mean, they're the complete opposite of each other. You know, one is scrawny and has nothing, and one is very large and has everything. And the one who is probably really the happiest is actually not Dudley. It's actually probably Harry, especially now at this point in his life. So I got real deep right here at the beginning of the chapter, but it was just something that struck me for the first time, that whole thought process.
Well, it's that idea that, so like my personal philosophy is that I don't ever regret anything I do or happens to me. I mean, obviously I wish I was able to learn lessons easier in some cases, right? It's always unfortunate when it's a tough time or a hard thing to go through, mm-hmm. but I don't regret them because I learned from them, right? And I became right. who I am based on what happened to me. So I feel like if you take that attitude, and that's sort of the attitude I feel like Harry sort of employs, right? I'm learning from what's happening from me. I'm learning life skills on how to cope and how to survive, and able to translate that, like you pointed out, into what's the bare minimum I can do to survive, and what can, you know, I can use my efforts in other means in another way, that's selfless. Whereas Dudley probably, sticking to as far through the books as we are without going too far past them, he doesn't learn how to function on his own. And he doesn't learn how to survive. And he doesn't learn how to think for himself. And he doesn't learn, you know, what is necessary versus what he wants. He feels like his wants are necessary. So it'll be interesting to see that dichotomy evolve throughout the book series. But yeah, I feel like Harry's a very resourceful boy. And in this case, he's been able to use his resourcefulness to find happiness, like we talked about in the last chapter, through finding his own family and finding that happiness doesn't have to be driven by, you know, consumerist type society or needs. You know, he doesn't mm-hmm. really care about the gifts he gets. He just finds it so endearing that someone thought of him, you know, he doesn't care that it's just a small token from Ron. He thinks it's just hilarious and it's so kind that anyone thought of him. So, you know, I totally agree. And it really does teach you sort of life skills. Harry's already learning life skills where Dudley is still being handed four pieces of pie with dinner. So.
Right, right. Well, and I think you hit on something that I really, really like. It's that Dudley does not understand the difference between a need and a want. And that is a huge distinction. And I would say that 99% of the first world does not understand that either. I mean, these days. We don't understand the difference between needs and wants because they've become one and the same. Like, I need an iPhone. Like, we don't need an iPhone, but we want one. You know, like the way in which we live. And I just really think that this is an interesting thing because it's going to be something that I think when we've talked about the psychology of Harry Potter, and yeah, wow, I can't believe we're digging in this deep, right? Like, we are at the very beginning of this chapter.
I know everyone expected like a real lighthearted conversation on a woman who turns into a blimp, but
exactly.
No, we don't
exactly.
deliver what you
blimp
expect.
Blimp lady leaves us just like totally philosophically buzzing. But this is, I think, something that we are going to see play out through the rest of the series. And there is never a point to where Harry doesn't understand that concept of what is really needed and what he wants. Because there will be a time when his wants come to the surface and maybe boil over. But he is able to find a way back to understanding that that's still just a want, not an actual need.
I think we're going to get the first taste of Harry's wants, him actually having a want, in this book. And, you know, he's always had desires. He's always wanted to meet his parents. You know, he's always had like a longing. But I think this will be the first time there is something that he wants. Mm-hmm. And that to get that would require other people's sacrifices, right, and would require, you know, more of himself than more of the other person as well. You know, like, it's one of those wants where like it's almost unreasonable to want it. Is not really the case, but it's like, it's a big want,
right?
It's the big thing you put on the list for Santa, like the big one, like you're like, I really want this. You know, and his is not materialistic in any sense. It's very different from Dudley's. But he still, this is the kind of the first book where he has that big want of what he wants. So I think that's when we start getting a taste of that. And it definitely kind of amps up throughout the rest of the series. But not to go too far ahead, not to travel too far down that road. But yeah, I think this one really, Dudley, I think is a big, it's a big teaching moments. Just, it's such a small part of the series and a small part of the book, but the Dursleys always are such a statement. It's always her opportunity to make quite a statement on things and to really show you some inner workings to Harry that you don't get much else, that's harder to depict in the rest of the mm-hmm. story. So
no, absolutely,
they're always so interesting. I hate them, but they're always so interesting.
Yeah, well, and that's something that's really interesting about this chapter, is because, you know, in the end, the flow of it is very quick, you know, and what I found about the chapter that was so hard to read is that the whole thing is Harry being abused psychologically. And
physically sometimes.
And physically, yes, but it's, you know, the way that he's being demeaned, the way that he's being treated, the way he's being made to present himself, all because they don't want Marge to know that he's different. And then, you know, it really, when you see that, when she even goes back in time a little bit to tell you about the history that he has with Aunt Marge, it's not good. I mean, the woman gave him dog biscuits for Christmas. I mean, this is the kind of like nastiness that has happened to Harry Potter, what he's grown up with. And it makes absolute complete sense that at the end of her visit, she's already been insinuating that his mother, and forgive me for the use of the word, but it's important for the series, she's called his mother a bitch, talking about how, you know, because she breeds dogs, so it is yep. within the correct term. But saying
that her as a dog,
yes, and so basically calling her a bad dog that gave birth to a bad son, because it's just a part of it's all about blood and like you know who and what's interesting is the way in which Marge kind of mirrors the, you know, pureblood wizards without even knowing it.
Yeah, it's hard to read this chapter. It's hard to read Marge as a character. She's so incredibly abusive and unrelenting in her abuse. I mean, you think the Dursleys were bad to her, but Marge is just 1,000 times worse, which you didn't even think was possible, which will introduce us to even more horrific characters going forward, particularly in the fifth book. You know, Marge very closely mirrors another one of my least favorite antagonists. But it's so hard to read, and it's mm-hmm. so hard to think of it happening. And I can't, I mean, Harry keeps his mouth shut as much as possible. But like he keeps pointing out, there's literally nothing he can do right. Anything he says, she's going to jump all over. Why bother fixing my hair? She's just going to tell me I look terrible anyway. Like, give her more fuel, might as well make it easier. You know, like, it's just so horrible, the whole situation. It's so hard to watch. And the fact that all she gets is a shattered wine glass and blown up like a blimp. I don't think she got her comeuppance.
Probably, because I'm sure
I think we find out later that, yeah they obliviate her or whatever, so. But... Still, it's horrible, and it's not horrible enough for what she did to him. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to read and hard to watch.
Mm. It really is. And you can't blame Harry for kind of, and this is one of the things that he doesn't want to do anything, but the magic just comes out. Like it's that reaction, and it's that thing that happens to kids when they get scared or something like that. That are magical, that the magic just comes out and there isn't anything that he can do about it. And, you know, in the end, she kind of deserves it. So with what she says to him and the way that she treats him, it is insanity. And after he blows up his aunt, he marches into the hallway, the door for the cupboard bursts open for him without him even doing anything. He doesn't even have his wand. He pulls out his trunk, he runs upstairs, gets his stuff, and heads out to the street. And that's where we leave poor Harry Potter, with all his wizarding stuff on the street. Not a great night for Harry.
No, not his shining moment. And very, very contrast to the last chapter.
Oh, yeah, that's... And it really is, because, you know, the last chapter we talked about how it just kind of left you with this warm, fuzzy feeling, and this one just leaves you so kind of depressed because you've been inside of Harry's mistreatment with him, and it hurts, you know. It's just an awful thing that anybody would treat anybody with this way. But, I mean, look at the world we live in. People do this all the time to each other. So this is just one more version of what we see all around us, unfortunately, too much. So
yeah, it's horrible. It's just hard to read and hard to think of someone actually having to go through this, but it happens every day, like you said, and it happens on a large scale and in a family life. And it's just like one of those, like, she deviates a little too much into real life here, and you're mm-hmm. like, I'm glad the whole book isn't like this, because it would be really difficult to handle. So I'm glad we handle real life issues in a more, you know, mystical type way as we go forward. I'm glad we get some magic here real soon to help lighten this yes. a little bit and let yes. us disconnect just slightly.
Hopefully that'll happen next chapter. But Idrea, if anybody wants to catch up with you and talk about... Harry Potter, or maybe some of the depth we got into here at the very beginning, where could they find you?
So if you're going to blow your aunt up, or would like to blow your aunt up, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick, or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's Kaufman.
And you can find me on Twitter, MattRushing02. You can find me on Instagram under the same name. I'm here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations, John Mills, talking about Star Wars. We have a blast. I hope you'll check it out. I'm on the Trek FM network, and I'm talking Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones. And then I am over there as well on our General Geek Show, talking all things geeky, all the fandoms we love over in the 602 Club. So make sure you check it out. Drea joins me over there once in a while. In fact, we've talked through all the Harry Potter movies there, so you can check out our conversations on that. And I am doing one more show, and that is called Cinema Stories. And that is where we talk about film through the lens of faith. And you can find all those shows on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.